Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1211. The topic is Q&A, and the title is Lifting Form for Strength versus Growth. Pretty cool question here that a listener sent in, and in a sense, they were talking about the difference between kind of like muscle intention versus movement intention, and what that's in reference to. I'm going to read their email in a second, but they're referring back to podcast number 220, a long time ago, yes, but podcast 220 was a training podcast titled Muscle Intention versus Movement Intention, and the discussion within that podcast was your quality of movement, style of movement, how you're lifting the weight should match what your goal is. If your goal is strength, you're going to, in a sense, intend to train the movement you're doing. You're not looking at the individual muscle rolls other than making sure they add up to a movement. But if you're doing a deadlift, it's considered a deadlift. Like you're focusing on all of the muscles, whatever would need to be involved for the movement of a deadlift to be stronger. Right? If you're training like muscle growth, well, deadlift, you might be still training it to build the muscles. It's not a common lift people will use for muscle development because there are so many muscles involved. But how would you move in a deadlift to make sure the muscles were maximally stressed? Is you would move a lot slower. So you wouldn't explode off the floor all the way to the top and then just drop to the bottom. Because the muscles, they might have had an initial burst of stress and action, but then it kind of coasts to the top, and then you just drop to the bottom. I wouldn't do a bicep curl like that, right? So we kind of innately, normally kind of associate bicep curls with growth and something like a deadlift with strength. A deadlift is performed explosive. A bicep curl, if I just throw it to the top and drop it to the bottom, I'm going to piss off my elbow. And I won't feel very good. And I certainly won't build big muscles. I'll just annoy the crap out of my body, essentially, right? So we know a bicep curl, you're supposed to be kind of slower and kind of in control of the weight the whole time. Whereas with a deadlift, if you try to deadlift super slow on the way up, you're going to get destroyed strength-wise. So you're not going to want to do that. You're going to try to be explosive off the bottom. So we have some kind of initial understanding that lifts that are meant to be for strength, they're supposed to be explosive, a lot of momentum. You're supposed to be in proper technique, you know, use the right muscles, fire the right muscles in the right sequence. It definitely involves our muscles, obviously. We're moving the weight with muscles. But the focus is explosive. The focus is on the movement as a whole. Each individual muscle is just only considered as it adds to the whole. Whereas muscle intention, if I'm working for muscular stress and I hope that they grow, everything's much slower. It's more purposeful, more kind of focused intent. You don't want momentum. You want the muscle to suffer. You want to feel the muscle burning and stress and stretch and just, oh, you want to focus really hard on the muscle. So if you've never listened to podcast 220, it'll help a lot with making today's podcast make even more sense. I'm pretty sure today's podcast is going to stand alone and be okay to make sense. But if you want to listen a little more, if this intrigues you, you can listen to podcast 220 and learn a little bit more about that. Now, I want to read through the question that was sent that brought up this concept. And then we're going to kind of talk this through. So the question, somebody sent in a previous question, and this is actually their second question, and it said, I went back and listened to all the podcasts on movement intent versus muscle intent, and that's the podcast we referenced 220. So my main goal is to just build muscle and aesthetics. I'll get stronger along the way, but I'm not trying to maximize strength right now. I've been following my full body compound program, but I have been just lifting as much weight as possible and focusing on getting it up and getting my reps. And I think I've been sabotaging my gains. Oh no. I've gotten much stronger, but not added muscle. I've been at maintenance calorie-wise, so that's part of the reason. But I don't think I've ever actually trained in a way to match my goals! Exclamation mark. If my goal is to build muscle, wouldn't muscle intention still be my goal even with the compound lifts? Yes. So, if my thinking is correct, I would probably have to lower my weight on bench, but control the concentric and eccentric and really feel every rep. I think I know the answer. I guess I just wasn't super positive if that applied to compound movements, or how you would use those movements like a bodybuilder instead of a powerlifter. He said, sorry for the long email. No apologies needed whatsoever. I love long emails and details. Thank you very much. This is what I love to do. So thank you very much. And then he says, thanks in advance, because he knows who in hell. Of course. I love this. And thank you to the patrons of the podcast, by the way, who allow me to be able to help. So I really appreciate that. In a sense, what he's asking is on compound movements, like big heavy movements, like squat, bench, deadlift, you know, like even like leg press, if you do cleaning presses, things like that. If your goal is to build muscles, should you move slow and purposeful on those movements as you would on like a bicep curl? So we talked about the difference we initially kind of innately kind of understand is deadlift explosive, bicep curl slow, right? So he's saying, well, if I want muscle growth, should I do everything slow and purposeful, just like I do a bicep curl? The answer is yes. But you can also just kind of play with this a little bit. The strict answer, if I had to give a single word answer, is yes. But that's actually not how I train, and it's not how I train my clients. So I want to talk through a little bit of the fun nuances. And this is the fun, cool stuff that we get to learn on podcasts, is more than just a black and white yes and no. Let's learn the nitty-gritty details and the fun ways of kind of blending everything. So the answer that I give to myself, that I use with my in-person clients and my online clients when we do video exchanges and stuff like that, what I encourage them to do is both. We want to move super heavy things in kind of an explosive, fast way to build strength at certain times. We also want to move super heavy things slow and controlled to damage muscle tissue at certain times. So the initial answer, if I just had to give an answer and walk away, would be yes, everything should be slow and controlled. The real answer, the what I do, what I want to do with all my clients, what gets everybody all the fun success that we've had, I've helped people earn pro cards in aesthetic sports, drug tested and non-tested. I've helped people earn elite totals, well over 100 state records, and help people win like strongman competitions and stuff. So I've worked with a wide variety of people. I've worked with professional athletes, Olympic athletes, CrossFit Games athletes. I've worked with a lot of variety of people. And in all of those people, we do both. Now, the percentages of what is in a training focuses on what is all a little bit different here and there, but it's important to get stronger. So strength training is important, even if your only goal is bigger muscle. You're like, I don't care how strong I am. I just want big muscles. Well, then you should care how strong you are. That strength is extremely important. Strength, not getting stronger, was actually what set me back in the first like 8 to 10 years of my lifting career. Sad face crying in frustration right now. But no one told me this. When I read magazines, I started lifting before internet. And when I read magazines, I feel like a million years old when I say that. When I read magazines, and I also feel a million years old when I say that. Oh my gosh, I'm too old. But when I read magazines, the bodybuilding stuff, all the bodybuilding information was 8 to 12 reps for upper body, and then kind of 8 to 20 reps for lower body. They were saying you could go a little higher reps with legs if you wanted to, because there's just more muscle tissue, and therefore it can kind of like take more damage and be beat up longer. So the answer was 8 to 12 reps, and then 12 to 20, so somewhere between 8 and 20 reps. The downside is if you go slow and controlled for 8 reps, you're outside the time under tension range that is really useful and beneficial and mostly effective towards building strength. So if you do 8 to 20 reps all the time, you're not going to build a lot of strength if you go super slow and controlled and super pretty all the time. So if you do 8 to 12, where it looks like you're trying to film a tutorial video for YouTube, and if you don't have a million subscribers, you know, you lose everything in your life. Yeah. So if I'm filming a tutorial video and I want to look perfect, I'm going to go so damn slow and so purposeful that I'm going to be using like 20-pound dumbbells and sweating, right? So if you're overly restrictive with super perfect technique, you're not actually going to kind of create enough stress that produces increased strength. You're also not even going to create enough stress that actually maximizes the muscle damage that's possible. But strength is extremely important because over time, you can create more damage doing the same sets and reps. So let's just say in a workout, I do 20 sets, 20 working sets. Well, if I don't get any stronger, if I want to get bigger, I have to do more. I have to do 21, 22, 23, 24, you know, a year or two in lifting, you're going to be in the gym for 3 hours, right? If I can't get more from what I do, I have to do more. Make sense? If I get stronger, I can get more from what I already do. So if I lift 50-pound dumbbells for 10 reps, but I get stronger to lift 55-pound dumbbells for 10 reps, then I get stronger to lift 60-pound dumbbells for 10 reps. The overall volume of work I've done, weight times sets times reps under working sets, that increases. So I have done more work without having to do more work. I have moved more total poundage of weight in a very stressful percentage and very stressful way to my muscles using the exact same sets. So if I was doing 3 sets of 10 at 50s versus 3 sets of 10 at 60s, I will get more growth from 3 sets of 10 at 60s. I will get bigger muscles from 30 reps at 60 pounds than I will at 30 reps at 50 pounds in total. The only way for me to get to move 60s over 50s is to get stronger. One of the caveats and one of the kind of things I struggled with when I was younger is I just thought the bigger my muscles got, the stronger I would get. That's unfortunately not true. Ugh. The bigger muscles I get, the more potential for strength I have. But just because I got a bigger muscle doesn't mean I'm stronger. There's a lot of other factors. Oh my good Lord. I could take a whole podcast talking about the other factors. For example, there's one of the clients I work with. He competes at 148 pounds, I believe. Yes, 148 pounds. And he can deadlift over 600 pounds. He's ridiculous. He's awesome. So he can deadlift 4 times his body weight. But at 148 pounds, he doesn't have big muscles. He looks very muscular. He's very fit. Definitely. You're not going to confuse whether or not he lifts weights. He's very, very muscular, like for his frame, but he doesn't look like a bodybuilder. He doesn't have big, rounded, puffy muscles, and he wouldn't get necessarily on stage and do a bodybuilding competition. So there are people who don't have bodybuilder-sized muscles who are much stronger than bodybuilders. And there are people who do have bodybuilder-sized muscles, but they're not that strong. There are people who might be 240 pounds with abs, and they can maybe only bench press, you know, 405 for 5 reps. But you get somebody who's, you know, 220, a little bit soft, they might be able to do 405 for, set of like 10. So strength and muscle size don't actually go 100% hand in hand. So you can get stronger without getting bigger, and you can get bigger without getting stronger, but getting stronger helps you get bigger. That was maybe confusing, but I hope it's helping to make sense. That strength training, getting stronger, is absolutely important, because if you can use heavier weights for the same sets and reps that you normally do, you can get more growth over time without having to be in the gym for longer time. You can, like, I've been training for, how old am I? I'm 38. I started lifting weights when I was 16. So I've been lifting for 22 years. And my workouts still, on average, last about an hour to maybe an hour and 15 minutes if I'm kind of lollygagging and not paying attention to what I'm doing. So in 22 years, my length of workouts has actually probably gone down. That's not even probably. They have absolutely gone down. When I was younger, I had nothing else to do with my life. So I used to work out 2 hours if I wanted to. Now I have other things I want to do, but still have to balance, and a lot of things I don't want to do, being a little bit more of an adult. So I don't even have as much time to work out now as I used to, but I'm way bigger, way stronger, way leaner than I ever have ever been. So you can get amazing progress without having to be in the gym for more time if you get stronger. There's a million other factors like better quality of programming and exercise selection and whatnot. But you do need to get stronger to get bigger. So strength is something you should pay attention to. But as the listener pointed out, you can't just throw weights around and just all momentum, all just shoving everything around and not paying attention to the actual muscles, because that risks injury. You're actually going to overload your connective tissue more than actually the muscle tissue. And you're actually going to decrease muscle tissue damage for the amount of work you're doing, because it's decreasing the actual tensional load time of each individual rep. So if I just throw things around, I'm more likely to get injured. Now, I either overload, you know, the muscle because it's too heavy for what the muscle can do, or I kind of am out of position and I can't control it, and all of a sudden, you know, I get into a bad position, my connective tissue gets strained and tear or partial tear or part of a muscle tear, and all of a sudden I can't lift. You know, that's going to limit things. Also, connective tissue loading, meaning if I just drop to the bottom of a squat and then just kind of look like crap and almost die trying to come back up, I'm not going to build as much muscle because the tensional load got shifted into my connective tissues, not my muscle tissue. So you need to maintain control over the weight so that way the muscle tissue gets the brunt of the work. So what can we do? How can we answer this? There's four solutions I'm going to give. There's actually more, but four is enough to keep everybody busy. Here's four options. One of them that I like to do a lot is a blended concept. So if I'm doing my warm-up sets, I might do one or two warm-up sets of a movement, assuming it's not like a bodyweight movement. Can't really warm my bodyweight up. Now you can with band assistance and blah, 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 blah. Don't chew me apart for that. But if you're doing an externally weighted movement, you can do one or two warm-ups. And then let's say you can go for, say, three working sets. The first set, you might try to do very slow control, do them very pretty. You want to do max effort. You want it to be really freaking hard, but you're going to make sure the technique is as good as you can do. Second set, you're going to make it kind of sort of as good as you can do. She might add a little bit of weight, and you're still trying your best to control it, but it's kind of a little bit loose. Then the last set, the third set, you can go a little heavy and see what you can do. You know, try to move around some weight. Don't get hurt, please. But be a little more aggressive. Get a little momentum into it. Do a little rhythm movement, you know? So you can blend them. You can do the earlier sets, super pretty. The latter sets, kind of heavy and going for it. And the middle one in the middle. I love that. That's one of my favorite ways of doing it. Because the first two or three sets, counting the warm-ups in the first one or two working sets, I have good mind-muscle connection. I'm really feeling the muscle, feeling the pressure, feeling the damage, just really getting sensationalized into the muscle. So then I keep going a little bit heavier, a little bit heavier. And then even though towards the end I might be moving pretty quick, where I do like 10 reps in 10 seconds, that's pretty quick pacing for bodybuilding. But I'm mindful of the targeted muscle being under contraction and under load rather than some other muscle taking over. So if I'm doing cable seated rows, at no point in time do I throw the weight around where my biceps and low back hurt more than my upper back. But I can move with a little bit of good pace, like 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. I can move at a pretty good pace, like a rep a second, and still have really good muscle connection and muscle control in the targeted muscles I want. So when you first start, you might pull back, like a kind of like maybe your concentric and eccentric is like a three count. Like 1, 2, 3, squeeze. 1, 2, 3, extend. 1, 2, 3, squeeze. 1, 2, 3, extend. So you can start your warm-up sets with something like that, like a three-count concentric, three-count eccentric. Maybe add a little bit of weight. See if you can do a two-count. 1, 2, squeeze. 1, 2, extend. 1, 2, squeeze. 1, 2, extend. That a little bit heavier, a little bit faster. Then you add a little more weight, and then it's 1, 2, 3. So squeeze, extend, squeeze, extend, squeeze, extend, squeeze, extend. So you might change your pacing a little bit, your tempo. And you can start with a slower tempo, medium tempo, faster tempo, and add weight accordingly. That's a blended version. I love that. I use that all the time. I've used it for 20-some years. I love it. It's absolutely fantastic to do with my clients all the time. I also just love it because you get technique improvement, but you also get people to do a little bit of ugliness, but it's still safe. It just blends everything. I love it. Love it. Love it. Option number two is to differentiate between movements. On risky movements, you can have them be super slow and controlled. I'm just throwing out some examples here real quick to make it easy. Say I'm doing a dumbbell overhead press. I might not want to just sling that around and potentially knock my head off. So I might do those really controlled, where it's like maybe the most aggressive I might get is a two count, like one, two to the top, then one, two to the bottom. So think about like when I go one, two, top, one, two, bottom, one, two, top, one, two, bottom. You can get kind of into that pace, right? But maybe on a machine overhead press, when I don't have to worry about the thing falling on me, maybe then I can be a little more aggressive. So I can kind of go one, two, three, four. So it'll basically be like contract, extend, like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Where you're doing like 10 reps in 10 seconds kind of thing. So on movements that have some risk and they require stabilization, I'll focus on being quality-driven muscle intention. On movements that are safer, maybe the stability is taken care of for me by a machine or some kind of guided movement, then I can be maybe more aggressive. Okay? That's option number two. Option number three is pre-exhaust. I can do a really controlled movement, super controlled, very safe, you know, kind of really slow, like one, two, three, contract. One, two, three, extend. I can do a movement like that. And then the next movement I'll do for the exact same muscle group, but I'll kind of go a little more aggressive, like one, two, three, four, five, like that. The idea of a pre-exhaust is if I go super slow and controlled, I damage the muscle. I beat the muscle up. But then the very next movement, if I go into a movement that uses that same muscle, but it has other muscles involved. If I take that one to failure, since the targeted muscle I want was already fatigued, was already exhausted before I got there, it'll die first. Then all the other muscles that are supposed to support it and protect it are still kind of fresh. They can still handle it. So let's say I go into, I'm just making up stuff. Let's say I go into a squat with my quadriceps already worn out. So my quadriceps are at only 70%. The rest of me is at 100. I can use as much as I possibly can until my quadriceps die. And I would still have 30% capacity of all the other muscles, right? So I'm not going to be at risk getting hurt as much because I still have all the stabilizing and supporting muscles fresh. So if I destroy the targeted muscle first in a first movement, doing super slow and controlled, very muscle, like muscle intention driven movement, then I go into a movement intention, kind of more explosive movement, but that targeted muscle is already dead, then I'm still going to be safe even if I want to be explosive and aggressive. The fourth option is we can do something like rest pause. Rest pause, what that is I'll do the best I can for a certain effort. You know, maybe I'll try as much weight as I can for 10 reps. At 10 reps, my technique's going to go to crap. I'm going to die. So I typically stop my set. Well, instead of taking a really long rest, you would rest the weight. You'd pause for a short time, then you'd go again. So maybe I do 10 reps. I rest the weight. I count to 10 slowly. I pick the weight back up and I try some more reps. That's one of the ways to kind of get a blended between the two movements, the movement intentions. So what I could do, like the muscle intention, movement intentions, maybe the first 10 reps, I try to be super slow and controlled. I then rest the weight, I pause for 10 seconds, I pick them back up, and then I kind of be a little more aggressive, see if I can get maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 more reps. Rest pause is a really cool way to get that blend of slow movements and faster movements, but at the same weight within kind of like the same set. So rather than waiting from set to set to set to go from light to medium to heavy, you can kind of just do it within a single set. So if I grab the 60-pound dumbbells, I do chest presses, super slow and controlled, and at like 6, my muscles die. I just sit up, rest the weights on my legs, breathe for 10 seconds, I throw them back, and then I'm going to kind of crank them out, like 1, 2, 3, 4. And sometimes you can actually maybe get the same number of reps that you could even super slow, because now you're moving a little bit faster. So maybe I might do 6 slow ones, take a 10-second rest, then 6 really fast ones. That's another way of doing it. There are endless ways. So I just wanted to throw out a couple. Then the other things they can kind of consider is nutrition and also measurement. How are we tracking whether we're building muscle or not? That's actually something to consider. Nutrition. As he pointed out, the listener pointed out, that he has been in a kind of like holding phase. He referred to it as like a maintenance phase, which is, I think, the terminology I probably talked with to him about as well. But the idea was he was trying to maintain his weight, meaning he wasn't eating with a major deficit, but he also then wasn't eating with a major surplus. So what is the new muscle going to be built with? If I want to build a brick house, I need some bricks. If I want to build some muscle, I need some calories. Protein, hopefully. If you just eat a bunch of fats and carbs, you're just going to get fat, not muscle. But I have to eat in a surplus if I want to build a surplus of muscle. If I want new muscle, I need new food. Okay? So one of the things I would encourage people to do is if you want to grow, understand that likely you will need to weigh more if you want to grow more. Muscle tissue has weight to it. So you will have to weigh more if you want to have more on you in regards to muscle tissue. Take 12 weeks, and there's a million numbers. I'm just throwing something out there. Take 12 weeks and aim to gain 6 to 10 pounds. 6 to 12. Let's go 6 to 12 pounds, okay? So you're aiming for about a half pound to 1 pound per week over 12 weeks. Don't worry if it didn't happen, you know, exactly as predictable every single week. You're not going to gain literally one exact pound every single week, but go for 12 weeks. And try to gain somewhere between 6 to 12 pounds, okay? If you gain over 12, you're probably just gaining a bunch of fat. If you gain under 6, you're probably just not gaining anything. You're not gaining enough appreciable muscle. So in 12 weeks, try to eat enough to gain 6 to 12 pounds. If you start gaining weight too fast, eat a little less. If you're too slow to gain weight, eat a little more. Eat whatever the hell you need to get your body weight to move between 6 to 12 pounds in the next 12 weeks. Then try to hold that exact weight for another 4 weeks. That allows you to kind of solidify that weight. You'll look a little leaner. You'll feel a little better. It kind of lets the muscle, quote unquote, stay on you. Okay? So that's what you want to do, is you want to gain 6 to 12 pounds over the next 12 weeks. Then hold that weight for 4 weeks. If you eat enough to gain weight, you'll be eating enough to gain muscle. If whatever you're eating, you're not gaining weight, you're likely not going to build muscle, because if you were, you would weigh more. Can you exchange some body fat for some muscle? Sure. But it's a pretty slow process, and if you're already really lean, that's a pretty crappy trade-off because you don't have a lot of fat to do it with. Now, if you're 30%+ body fat, definitely that's probably a good approach, because the fat will come off as you build muscle. You might actually even lose some weight. So if you're like 25%+ body fat, then you can kind of try to hold weight, make sure you're eating enough protein, like 1 gram per pound of body weight, and hold your body weight, train like a beast, and maybe that'll help. And you'll should get a good transition there. But for the most part, if somebody's struggling to build muscle, you're going to see more results if you push your body weight up. So 6 to 12 pounds over the next 12 weeks, then hold it for 4 weeks. Then what you want to do is you can test if you want to. You can then try to take 6 to 12 pounds off over the next 12 weeks. So you're going to do 12 weeks to build weight, 4 weeks to hold weight, 12 weeks to take that weight back off. If you take pictures, I know, I just said to take pictures. Nobody wants to take the before photo, but everybody wants the after photo, right? If you take pictures before you start, you then do 12 weeks of building, 4 weeks of holding, 12 weeks of cutting, and then you take photos again, you're way more likely to actually see what is happening. If you see yourself change every day, you don't notice the changes. Also, new muscle is kind of hard to see. You know, if we think about a pound of steak, a pound of, like, beef, if you spread that out over your whole body, that's creepy. But if we imagine it as muscle tissue within our body, spread out all over our whole body, that's going to be hard to actually kind of notice, right? You maybe get like a little smidge of a quarter inch bigger in your arm, a little smidge of a quarter inch bigger in your thigh, but you're not going to see a lot of change. So new muscle is really hard to see. Therefore, you have to take longer before you look to see for it, right? So if I take 12 weeks, 4 weeks, 12 weeks, yes, that is 28 weeks, if I'm doing my math correctly. That's roughly about half a year. But that's a reasonable time frame that from beginning pitchers to end pitchers that you will 100% see some difference. What you can do that's shorter term is to actually measure. You can measure using tight clothes, meaning just put on something that's super tight right now or kind of sort of uncomfortably tight, and then work on building new muscle. If all of a sudden you can't put the damn thing on, you probably built some new muscle, right? I have seen this happen so many times over the years with the change in my clothes. I wear a 2XL like now, but I usually have to buy like big and tall clothes. And so that way it fits my shoulders. And I remember like the very first time I ever got to a 2XL, I looked like a fat marshmallow stuffed in like a wrapper. It was not good. But I look so much better now at 280 pounds. I've weighed 280 pounds a couple times in my life. First time, fat marshmallow, big bloat face, all the good, lovely stuff. Then I lost some weight, you know, cut up, tried to get a little bit leaner, went, built back up to 280, looked decent-ish, and then lost some weight, got to get a little cleaner, went back up to 280, looked even a little better. You know, so I remember, like, clothes that used to be super tight on me when I was 280 the first time, they're now actually kind of loose and they feel okay. Then I remember also, like, clothes that were comfortable when I was a little bit lighter. Now when I try them on, like, my pants don't even fit into thighs, but the waist is okay. You know, where am I getting bigger? Am I getting bigger in my extremities? That's probably muscle growth. If I'm getting bigger in my waist, that's probably fat. So you can use tight clothes. You can even do circumference measurements. You can body part measurements. I'm not a big fan of them because they're really hard to get super duper consistent and perfect all the time. But if you want to measure, for example, your elbow, I mean your upper arm bone, measure up from your elbow, okay? Measure up, say, four, like whatever looks like the peak of your bicep. So make a bicep. Whatever looks like the thickest part of your arm, wherever that is on your arm, measure that distance from your elbow. So if you were to measure from your elbow bone, the point of your elbow bone, up to wherever the thickest part of your arm is, measure that. And then that's where you should measure your circumference every single freaking time you measure your arm. So you want to use bone points. Because bones don't change, hopefully. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Same thing for measuring your thigh. If you look at where the thickest part of your thigh is that you think is muscle-based, and you want to measure that and see if it grows over time, see how far up the thigh that is from your knee bone, like from your kneecap, okay? Yeah, knee bone. Good Lord. Kneecap. If you measure up from your kneecap, maybe it's 8 inches. Well, that's where you should measure your circumference every damn time. So that way, if things are changing in your muscle, they should be changing in your shape. And therefore, the thickest part or how the leg is shaped or how the arm is shaped, how the body part is shaped, will slightly change as you lose some fat, build some muscle, lose some fat, build some muscle. If you always measure at an exact point from the bone, the closest bone, then you will know 100% what that circumference change is. It won't be like maybe one time you moved it a half inch up the leg, next time a half inch down the leg, and all of a sudden it looks like you didn't make any progress. So using clothes is great. Using circumference measurements from bone points is great. You can do before and after pictures, but give yourself enough time to actually see the damn difference. Okay? So in a very, very long-winded answer, we're covering lifting form for strength versus growth. The answer is, should I move super slow and controlled, or should I move aggressive? The answer is both. Do both. If I had to pick one, super slow and controlled. But if I really want reality and what I want to do and what I do with my clients and stuff, we do both. We talked about the four options. One of them was the blended concept. Do a set, nice slow pacing, get a little heavier, get a little faster, get a little heavier, get a little faster as you go for working set, working set, working set. The other one was specific movement focus, where I designate this movement, if it's risky, to be super slow. If this one's super safe, I'm going to be aggressive. The other one was pre-exhaust, you know, wear out the muscle super slow and controlled in some isolated movement, then go craziness on the big movement that's still related to that muscle. And the fourth one was rest pause. So, if you have any questions, email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com. But this is the answer. Do a little bit of both. Do some slow, controlled stuff. Do some fun, aggressive stuff. Let the muscle damage happen, but don't be afraid to work a little bit on strength as well. If you have any questions, which I'm assuming people might, I feel like I yap a lot. But if you have any questions, email me back, brutalirongym@gmail.com. I will be happy to expand on anything or clarify anything. This podcast is 100% meant to be whatever the hell you want it to be. So whatever you want to learn about, whatever you want to ask about, I'm always, always here. I'm always available. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like today's podcast or the podcast in general, please share it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people know about it, the more people can help. And that's the whole freaking goal. So thank you if you share the podcast. Thank you for helping others. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean podcast platform and through the podcast donation link we have on our Instagram homepage. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year, so I really appreciate the financial help. It's only due to the financial support that I'm able to do this every day. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.